All right. Welcome back. Welcome to the EFT class. And I would love to hear, actually, so last week we tapped on Paula's cat, Misty. And so I'd love to hear how things have shifted.
Well, a couple nights ago, she got up on the couch, which she likes to see if I'm eating something, whether she wants any or not. And then usually she jumps down. Well, this time she got up, she realized she didn't want what I had. And instead of jumping down, she just moved over a little bit and spent the rest of the night on the couch with me. Now, she hasn't done that in a very long time.
That's awesome.
And yesterday afternoon, we have a pest control company out of the house. One of our technicians came back, and he always goes and says hi to the cats, and she knows him now, so she doesn't run from him. But he said, she let me pet her all the way down her back.
Wow.
He was so excited because normally she'll kind of swat at him, his hand, or nip him lightly if he tries to do that. So he was tickled pink. So I was like, wow, this is really good. So a couple good breakthroughs. Thank you.
Yeah, that's big.
They're very big.
Awesome.
Especially letting him pet her. That's really big. And actually sitting next to me all night, I got up to go to bed, and she was still there.
That's really great.
It was wonderful.
And then who all has done homework, and how has it gone?
Well, Carolyn and I did work together a couple times. And one of the times she helped me more with the script, because I was still apprehensive about it, but I'm doing better. So that worked good. And then Misty. So I think it went well.
Yeah, I think it went really good.
So I thank you.
Is it Caroline or Carolyn? Which one?
Yeah.
Carolyn.
Carolyn.
Yeah. Yeah, we had a great session, Paula. That was really fun. It was a joy to work with you.
Thank you, and you also. It was wonderful.
Okay, do we have Caroline on the call, too?
Yes. I thought it was Colleen that was talking, because we did some homework together, too, that was great.
Well, good.
I think I need to tap on the same subject again this week, but that's okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
all right, and
Susan worked with me. We had a chance to connect once, and that was a good session. It really went well.
Okay, good. All right. Well, it's it's good. Practice makes perfect. You know, I mean, it really is feeling comfortable with this and continuing. You know, just even if you don't, even if you don't know, you know something's up for yourself, but you don't know what it is. Because, like, right now, I guess astrologically, there's a bunch of, we're kind of riding a tidal wave right now, I guess. And, you could even just tap on the point saying, I feel funny, I feel funny, I feel funny, I feel weird, so you're really just, when you can identify the feelings and tap on the points, that's your most important thing. You know, it's not whether you get a script right or, and sometimes you do a round of tapping. Like, for example, I have in the teacher training, I have a group for, and I can already hear you, Caroline. You're like, what? When am I starting? You'll start soon. but I have a current group for something called Tapping into Wealth. And it's the other day we did a round of tapping. It was on Tuesday. Did a round of tapping. And the next thing I could really feel that it wasn't complete, and I asked a couple of the participants how they were feeling about the situation, and three of them felt like they had really moved the energy from the first round of tapping, but I could tell that three of them, you know, they were like, yeah, I feel better. And I went in, and we got down and got dirty, and it was pretty intense, I have to say. And so it was actually the second round of tapping that really moved the energy for everyone. And, you know, so you can start to tap, you can start to do stuff, and then you can realize, wow, this is not quite finished yet. I need to do more. And then it's identifying the feelings. You know, what is the person or the animal still feeling like in the situation? So, you know, it's flexible, I guess. You know, you can be flexible with the idea of jumping in and doing more. And then the other thing is, I wanted to talk about something that I think is kind of significant. How many people here on the call work with horses?
Want to, but haven't.
Okay, so, all right, well, I guess it's not that exciting then. But I was going to say that one thing I love to tell people is the spot on the nose is right on the nose. It's a little bit of a different spot than the spot on the top of the nose for a dog. So the horse acupressure point that we tap on is different. And I just wanted to share that if you're ever working on a horse and you have a tough time touching the head because maybe they're head shy or their adrenals are going off and they're a little nervous about the present situation, just tapping on that point on the end of their nose, that is governing vessel 26, I think, GV 26. And that point alone is a great point for shock. And so it's a really good settling thing. So even if you were, working on a horse that was dancing around and was being super naughty or super distracted or wouldn't let you touch the rest of its head, that point, just tapping on the nose, would be pretty powerful. So I just wanted to share that. Does anyone have any questions, comments, observations about EFT before we...
I have one question. This is Paula. Since I'm still working on the script part, if you get kind of a block in the middle of tapping, like it falls out what you want to say or thought you'd say and can't come up with something quickly, should you stay on that point and tap till you can come up with something or move and just maybe repeat till you...
I think I would move and repeat until I came up with something.
Okay. Because that happened to me with Misty, and I just sort of, I don't know, it just fell out what I was saying, and I kind of didn't know what to do.
You know, it could be that your instinct was that you'd already kind of moved it, and it wasn't as important as it had been.
Oh, that's interesting. Okay.
Yeah, I mean, if it falls out like that, it might have already moved.
Oh, okay, thank you. I didn't...
Yeah, and you could then keep tapping on those words and really allow what you feel is the next step to come in.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah, because I can get a sense of relief from the animal, and I know each of you can get a sense of relief from the animal. But if you aren't used, like, I spend a lot of time, obviously, over the last 20 years on the phone talking to animals. So I have the ability to feel into the phone, so to speak, feel into that other energy, whether it's in Pennsylvania or North Carolina or Tahoe, I'm feeling into that energy. I can feel when something is starting to shift, and so then I start to shift the script. And that might be for you, Paula, and it may be not for everybody, but might be for you a moment when the energy has started to shift, so you get to even shift your script.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yes, it does. I have to be more aware of it. Of course, I thought I was doing something wrong, but I have to be more confident, as always. But, yeah, that makes a lot of sense. I didn't even think about the shifting in the middle because I look for it at the end. But, yes, it continues throughout the tapping, which guides you, I guess, with your script, correct?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And it's, you know, again, the animals are going to be easier to come up with or to see the shift. Some animals. I mean, there's, I've got one guy that I'm working on right now that's super invested in being spooky, a horse. But, you know, there's a lot of, I mean, look at how much she has shifted, and you've had her 13 years, right?
Yes, right.
I mean, that seems pretty impossible to...
Amazing. It's awesome.
Yeah. So if she's shifting that quickly over something this simple, and, you know, just be aware that that is the possibility, that is the potential, that's why we're doing this. And that, you know, we want to be constantly feeling in for that. And that, so that, again, if there's no other reason to, you know, validate the idea that the script is secondary to the tapping through the feelings, that alone should be, you know, your proof right there.
Thank you. Thank you.
Yeah. Any other?
Joan, this is Karen. I have a question and a comment.
Okay.
So first my comment, you tapped on Katie, my poodle that was.
Yeah.
I hadn't walked on certain parts of my floor for years and years. She has continued to walk more freely around certain parts of my house, and I actually have been very busy tapping on my very fearful foster dog, so I haven't actually done anything tapping-wise with Katie this week. But instead of simply following my other dog now into the kitchen area, she's actually standing, walking into the kitchen area when my other dog is outside. So she's doing it all on her own.
Awesome.
It's just pretty, it's pretty amazing. My husband and I are just, we just look at each other like, wow, that's just, because this is an 11-year-old dog, and
yeah.
She's doing a variation of this for at least 6 years, the last three of which she hasn't set foot in this area of the kitchen, even though it's only 10 feet away from her couch, and it's where the food is, so you would think that she would want to be in there, and she just has not gone there, so... That's very cool. And then my question is, when I'm tapping with and for my very fearful foster dog, I am most often either tapping on me as her or I'm tapping into the air like you suggested, mm-hmm. because she really doesn't want me that close to her much of the time. So I'm not actually touching her. Sometimes, and my own feelings about her behavior are very intertwined with her behaviors. So I have additional tapping I'm doing on myself for me. But sometimes when I'm tapping for her, stuff comes up for me. And my question is, when that happens, is it okay to shift in mid-tapping round to tap on the stuff that's come up for me, or is it better to just bookmark that, finish what I'm doing for Charlotte, and then come back to my stuff?
I think it would be better to bookmark it.
Okay.
I think that's a great way of putting it.
You
know, you could, yeah, literally, because those things that are coming up could be volumes themselves, right?
Right.
And you want to, I mean, I personally would just want to be, I mean, yeah, I would want a little completion and knowing that I've shifted, even if it's 0.001%. I'd want to know that I made a dent in that one thing and that, yeah, I actually have a lot more to tap on around this subject.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, that's a great question. Great question. And I'm just tickled pink about, you know, the dog and the cat. I mean, I love this, you know, I love that that both of you, an 11-year-old dog and a 13-year-old cat, are changing their behavior. And I'm compelled to tell this little story. Right now I've been dealing with my brother and my sister-in-law in a not very great situation in their togetherness or not togetherness. And I really wish that I do not want to be the marriage counselor, and I keep telling them this. And but there's two little great kids at stake, and so it's just been a couple of days of listening to both of them being very stuck in their thinking, right? Like they kind of can't get out of this thinking. So nothing's changing. They're just getting more and more frustrated with each other. And so I was telling my aunt about this last night on the phone. And my aunt is a retired trial attorney, Taurus, you know, oh, my God. I mean, tough as nails. There's times when no matter what we're talking about, I'm just, if I feel like there's a potential for an argument, I'm always like, okay, you're right. You're right. You win. Because she can take you down in an argument faster than you even know what's happening. So I was telling her about what was going on, and she said that when she was working, so she was an attorney for the SEC, the Securities Exchange Commission, and just, you know, just intense cases. And so she said you'd be following a pattern of facts, and that's, you know, obviously as a lawyer, how you are bringing about the pattern, you know, the pattern of facts is, you know, laying it out in a certain way is what's going to win the case. And if you're completely reviewing the same facts over and over again and you don't think it's good enough or you know there's something more, you know, she said that was very frustrating. She said every year at New Year's when she would look at her life and say, wow, what do I want for this year? She said, she always just said, I just want a new fact pattern. But the truth of the matter is, and I swear to God, I'm going to use that subject for an article, because you guys had a certain fact pattern about Misty's behavior. You had evidence, and yet we changed it, right?
Yeah.
And the same with Karen. You're... dog, 11 years, 6 years she's been invested in this behavior. And we had a fact pattern change. And so it's pretty it's pretty cool to think that, you know, this can really, 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 this is so powerful that I'm sure a lot of people would have told you, I mean, Karen, did anyone ever say, oh, that's not going to change, or did you have a belief around that even?
Totally, I had the belief it wasn't going to change because I had tried various things, and eventually I realized that whatever it was bigger than I had control over. So you just learn to live with it.
Yeah, exactly. And it's a fact pattern. You know, she does this, I do that. I get frustrated because she does this. So it's pretty cool to think that we have that much of a potential for really shifting whatever. And when we shift like that in our household, we also have the ability to affect a change out in the world. If our one teeny miracle, my spiritual teacher, I used to call her and say, "Oh my God, Susan, I've had a miracle," and she'd be like, "No, you've had a norm. It's normal to have this kind of, you know, shifting." But we get so used to our fact patterns, you know, and so we forget that things can shift and dramatically and beautifully. And so when we have these shifts in our household, it has the potential for us to see everything differently. Like, wow, if that could change, anything could. And then we're bringing that vibration out into the world. So, you know, really working on seemingly small things in our household has, you know, it gave both of you hope, right, Paula and Karen?
Yes, yes. Because that was I always felt she was slowly changing, but it's taken this many years of a lot of working with her.
Yeah.
And then to think I could have just tapped if I'd known how years back. So I'm amazed that it's so that you can, I know things take longer, but I also see that things can change incredibly quickly.
Yeah, and I would want to encourage both of you, if EFT is going to be part of your professional world, especially with animals, you know, encourage you to write these stories up, because these are really good stories. It's a new and hopeful story, as opposed to the story of like, yeah, she walks on the tile weird, and, you know, it's a really... we need good stories, because we get pretty engaged and invested in our fact patterns. So anyway, there you go. And I know that, I wanted to really quickly check in on this. Is anyone having any sort of health challenge that they'd want to use for the call in the week 6 and 7?
Sure, my thyroid.
What's that?
My thyroid.
Okay, I was going to do it more on an animal, but...
Let me think on that.
Because I could bring an outside client in if everybody has super healthy animals, then we could either do the thyroid, or we could do...
Well, Joe and I have a pet that really could use some help.
Okay.
Her, she is an Akita. She came from us, came to us from the streets, and we don't know much about her background. But from the moment we got her, we put her on high-grade food, and she got bladder crystals. And we've been on prescription food since February, and it's not gone yet. We're still dealing with it.
Okay.
She is miserable with it.
I would love to do that next week. Do we have a class? I'm trying to think. I go to Florida here soon. I'd love to do in the wellness section. That would be awesome.
Okay. We do have a call next week, according to the message.
Okay. We will work up with your dog next week. That's awesome.
Super. Thank you.
Yeah.
Yes.
Dream has had issues with seizures when she was younger. It was called stress-induced seizures. She hasn't really had them, but we're really careful not to induce those and just make sure that there's nothing lingering. That would be nice to know.
Okay, that would be a great one for the following week, then, when I get back from the dolphin trip. So, or I guess maybe we have two more weeks. So those two would be great. So, good. Okay. The stress-induced and the crystals. All right. And you know what? I would love it if you guys could send me pictures of your animals. Okay. That would
sure
be
can.
Okay. Seizures. All right. Okay. So for today... and I know we have an extra call. Karen, I'm wondering if you, with this, I wanted to, last week we tapped on the behavior as far as the animal's behavior, and today I wanted to tap on behavior, how the person feels about it. And I just started thinking, Karen, and Shiloh, you have a challenge too, right?
Yeah.
What is the challenge you have?
You mean with Dream or with me?
With Dream.
She is reactive to electronic things, the cell phone going off, any of those electronic phones, she immediately wants to leave. She wants to go outside, and she will sometimes act really cute to get her way to get away from those sounds.
And, okay, so you know what? I think what I want to do is get, all right, so I would love to tap on that. And then, Karen, I also, if we can find a way to do two tappings today on people's feelings about things, I would love to do that. But
okay.
We'll start with Shiloh and, is it Dream?
Yes.
And how old is Dream?
She's 7.5.
And what breed?
Shiba Inu.
And what? Who else lives in your household?
There's my husband, and then every other weekend we have our stepdaughter.
And when you When you see this behavior, what do you think?
Well, first of all, trying to identify what it was that was setting her off was a challenge. And then we found out that certain tones were worse than others, so we modified... changed the tone pattern. And first, for me, it was not understanding. And how can I help her through this? My husband didn't get it for the longest time. And I'm just wondering if there's some kind of pain involved from some of this reading, that I've done on different things. Now I'm trying to find ways of modifying it by not giving in to her flight response and showing her that it's okay, showing her the device, giving her some kind of high-value treat or something like that. Petting does not help. She does not want to be touched. She will do everything that she can to adorably get away from it and go, I need to go outside. So it, my feelings are kind of feeling helpless right now because I don't know how to help her.
And when you think there's a pain, do you think there's a pain in her ears?
Possibly. Or she, it's more, when I experience something like that, it's more of a startle. And when you're startled, you want to, you know, move away. It could be. I don't know.
Okay. And do you... do you ever get frustrated?
Occasionally.
And
then
think,
I have to reel myself back in going, that's not the place to be.
Right, but the truth is you are frustrated, right?
At times, yes.
Okay. You know, there is... people joke... I love to say I'm the cussing animal communicator, okay? So I have no problem with... I would rather us be real about our feelings because we have a chance then to work through it versus making up that, like, oh, I'm so zen about this weird behavior because the truth is...
Sometimes it's like, really, can we just stop this?
Yeah. Okay, now we're talking. Yeah, okay. and so when, and what I find interesting, because it's kind of twofold, right? It's like this thing happens, and you feel bad, and then you get a kind of, and I'm just going to say it, a little bit manipulated, right?
Yeah.
Okay, and so how do you feel?
I don't know if we formed a habit or if it's still a real type thing.
Well, you know, it seems like it's a little bit both, right?
Probably.
And so when you think about the idea that... there is this behavior that is now possibly a habit that she acts cute. Do you buy it?
Most of the time.
Okay. So she acts cute and she gets to go out, even though all you're doing is answering the phone.
Or text message or whatever, yeah.
it's pretty good. She's trained you.
Yeah. She's done really well. We don't have landlines. We're all on cell phones now. Everything's electronically running around in the house.
And so when you think about that she's completely trained you, how do you feel?
Amused and pissed.
Okay. Does anything else come up for you?
Hmm.
I mean, in some ways, that's pretty clever.
Oh, I know. I feel sad and incompetent all at the same time that she's having to go through whatever uncomfortableness that she's going through that made us get to this party that we have. Mom, your phone just made this noise, and I don't like it, so let me see what kind of cute little dance I can do to, and adorableness I can do to have you let me away from whatever this is that's bothering me.
Okay. Are you ready?
Sure. Let's go for it.
Okay. So we're going to start, I'll call it out as we go, but we're going to start with the karate chop, and then inside of the eye, outside of the eye, under the nose, under the lips, the collarbone. And I would suggest going out as far to lung one, just because you said the sad, I want you to hit your grief point. So lung one is, if you go to the point in the center of where the collarbones come together, move out to just out a couple inches and then down. Do you feel an indent almost by your shoulder there?
Yeah, I'm working on it.
Okay, that's lung one. Anyway, I would recommend hitting that. And sometimes it's, especially if we've got stuff going on, it's a little tender.
Okay.
And then top of the head. So, I will call it all out as we go. So, are you ready?
Sure.
Okay. Even though, so we're at the karate chop, even though I have this crazy behavior with my own, you know what, one more thing. If everybody could mute, and if you want to follow along, that would be great. And also if you want to just hold energy for Shiloh and the cute dog, that would also be great. Okay, so here we go. So back to the karate chop. Even though I have this adorable being in my household. That seems to be so tortured by electronics. And it makes me sad and feel incompetent. And I love and accept myself. Even though I have this ridiculous situation. I honor the choices I'm making. Even though this is just so ridiculous that I can't get to the bottom of it. And I've really tried. I love and accept myself. Okay, so tapping through the points. I am so frustrated at times. I'm frustrated with myself. Because, I'm sorry, tapping under the eye now. Because I can't get to the bottom of this. Tapping under the nose. And I'm frustrated because she has my number. Under the lips.
I have catered to this whole situation.
Okay, down at lung one on the end of the collarbone toward the shoulder. Talk about catering, I get high-end treats. Top of the head. Oh, do I cater to this? Inside of the eye. I have been trained by a dog. Outside of the eye. There might be nothing wrong with her.
There might be nothing wrong with her.
Under the eye. And yet I have completely become a ding-a-ling over this. Under the nose. I get really pissed that I have been had.
I get really pissed that I've been had.
Under the lips. I feel like I've been used.
I feel like I've been used.
Outside of the shoulder, outside of the collarbone there. I get so frustrated that I'm so gullible.
I get so frustrated that I get so gullible.
Top of the head. But how could I not? She's so stinking cute.
She's so stinking cute.
Inside of the eye. It's that adorable behavior. Outside of the eye. She could manipulate me to do anything with the adorable behavior.
She could manipulate me to do anything with that adorable behavior.
Under the eye. I've never stopped and said, I'm on to you, Missy. Under the nose. Maybe I should. Under the lips. But then I always come back to, maybe there's something really, really wrong. Collarbone. And that I'm just not seeing it. Top of the head. And that I don't know what it is. Inside of the eye. And so I get really sad. Outside of the eye. I get really sad that I'm this incompetent. Under the eye. And I feel helpless. Under the nose. Really, really helpless. Under the lips. Because the truth is. Collarbone. I'm not solving anything. I'm putting a Band-Aid on it with the big treats.
I'm just putting a Band-Aid on it with the big treats.
Top of the head. So it's really frustrating for me again. Inside of the eye. So rather than think about this mental loop. Outside of the eye. I just give her treats. Under the eye. And let her outside. Under the nose. I've also modified my behavior with the sounds that come out. Under the lips. Oh, she's really trained me. Collarbone. So I go round and round. Top of the head. From sad to helpless. Inside of the eye. From incompetent to frustrated. Outside of the eye. And I still give her treats. Under the eye. What if that's okay? Under the nose. What if it really is now just to get treats? Under the lips. What if every electronic machine is a treat machine? Collarbone. I mean, really, my cell phone is a Pez dispenser. Top of the head. And it is A-okay. Inside of the eye. Because the truth is, she brings our family so much joy. Outside of the eye. And, you know, it's not like I'm going to win some behavior modification test.
It's not like I'm going to win some behavior modification test.
Under the ice. So maybe it's okay that I've been completely manipulated.
So maybe it's okay I've been completely manipulated.
Under the nose. I'd rather be a sucker for my dog than anyone else.
I'd rather be a sucker for my dog than anyone else.
Under the lips. And it's okay.
And it's okay.
Collarbone. I'm going to tell my husband that our phones are simply Pez dispensers.
Tell my husband it's simply our phones are simply Pez dispensers.
Top of the head. And carry on with
and
great
on.
Joy.
And carry on with great joy.
So, how do you feel about it now?
It's okay. We'll keep doing this, whatever it is.
Because if there is a startle and there's still a startle, like, wow, that thing made a sound again. You know, is she super smart?
Highly.
Yeah, so can you imagine how frustrating it is that she's got everything rigged and then randomly this thing beeps?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, maybe it was piercing for her ear at some point, but, you know, at another, it just becomes, you know, like I said, you all are pretty wrapped in certain behaviors.
Mm-hmm. Mostly is that she wants outside.
Yeah,
and she
to get away from
outside.
It.
Yeah. And she wants to stay outside extensively after that, not just out and then back in again.
Yeah. Do you... And does she like to be outside anyway?
Yeah. Especially when she's got cabin fever. In other words, when the weather has been bad and we don't go for walks and, you know, or anything, she just prefers to be outside. We already play the in and out game.
Yeah.
Which I completely understand, and it's fun for us. Because she goes out the back door and comes in the front door, so she is moving the cheese through the house, so I'm cool with that. But this is something different.
It just will be funny to see what will happen if you take the cell phone thing super lightly, you know, like, oh, it's just a Pez dispenser, you know,
mm-hmm.
because that alone might shift things. I mean, if nothing else, it just might shift how you feel about it. And right there, now you've changed it.
Sure. We'll see how it goes.
Yeah.
And I was tapping on her, too, while we're doing all this. And mostly she was okay with it.
That's good.
She shifted once because I think I was tickling under her lips a little bit. But...
And... All right. Well, it'll be fun to see.
Yeah.
And then Karen. Karen, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Did you want to tap on your feelings about the foster dog?
I would be happy to. I would love it.
Okay. And so what is the behavior? And so, again, you guys, when I'm making a script, so there's two things that are going on, right? Like, there's not just the behavior or the upset in the house. There's the behavior because of an upset or something in the past or whatever it is. And then it's our feelings about it that tend to magnify or project onto it. And so the animal can't help but to continue in that same vein. And the only thing we can do to change it, if the behavior modification isn't working, is to change our feelings about it. So, okay, so What is the foster dog's name?
Her name is Charlotte.
And how old is she?
She's a little over a year old.
And what breed?
Black Lab mix.
Okay. And what is she afraid of?
Everything. She's very afraid of people. She's also very afraid of anything unusual in her environment. And I use that term very broadly, as in a jacket thrown over a chair, the sound, an unusual sound in the distance when she's outside, the vents in my floor that the heat come out of, a door open or shut that's different than it has been. So I have a hard time finding things that she's not afraid of. That's a crate.
Okay. And how do you feel about it?
I feel sad that she's in this situation. I feel ineffective and rejected at times. I've had her for several weeks now, and we've had some positive steps forward, but it's slower than I would certainly like or I had hoped for it to be. I worry about her adoptability. I worry about her being able to integrate into an adoptive family and whether they'll return her or be impatient with her and it won't work. I worry about me getting too attached to her if she's here for too long a period, and then, you know, the intent is to have her go to an adoptive family. I'm frustrated at times because of the things I'm doing don't seem to be as effective as I would think they might be. I think I feel real compassion towards her. She came into my life at a time that I was struggling with a lot of PTSD symptoms surrounding an anniversary of a life-threatening medical issue. There's a lot of things going on in Charlotte that really mirror my own feelings. So I have both compassion for her, and then it's pretty scary sometimes feeling how she's feeling inside my own body and how much that shadows or mirrors or brings up the stuff I'm already feeling. I feel angry with the people in her life that allowed and contributed to her being in this situation. I had to think about that whole list as you were talking before. I don't know that I would have come up with all that.
If you and I was like, wow, you
randomly
are really
interviewed. Well, and to, you know, truthfully, because I've worked with Kara, your teacher trainer,
yeah,
for homework a couple times, and she's Charlotte went in for heartworm treatment this week, and several times Kara indicated to me subtly and sometimes a little more directly that my fear of Charlotte going in for her heartworm treatment was something I needed to tap on myself for, and honestly, I don't think that's what I'm afraid of. I don't think that's it at all. I think what Kara was picking up on was my fear from Charlotte's fear and how our histories are sort of similar. So I've given that some thought, considerable thought.
Mm-hmm.
But she did go in for heartworm treatment today, and I am, you know, I am worried about her. In a way that anybody would worry about their dog going in for treatment, that some dogs don't make it through, but I'm
right.
Actually optimistic she'll be back with me on Saturday, so I don't think I'm overly worried.
I just want to say that I actually have this dog sitting with me right now. I have a Charlotte, but her name is Isabella.
Mm-hmm.
and she is a black lab. And she was the most terrified dog on the planet. And I can tell her story now because 9 years later, or 7 years later, wait, how, 8 years later, she's still with us. But, you know, the she was so unadoptable because she was so terrified. They had to, they did a phone session with me to see if she wanted to even be alive, because that was almost the only option, was to perhaps put her down. I'm sorry, I have a raven war going on right now. I think, I don't know if you guys can hear the ravens screaming in the background, but there's a raven rave going on here in my pasture. Anyway, so I did a lot of stuff with my dog. I did a phone session with her, and I said, "Yeah, you know, underneath all of this behavior, all of this fear, is actually a really goofy dog." And the woman that was foster, the rescue, was like, "I just don't see it." And, you know, there's, we don't know what to do. She's just a good friend of mine, and she's so compassionate, and she's so great with, like, aggressive pit bulls. And here she had this, like, beyond timid black lab. And I, she said she wanted to bring her over to my house for energy work, and I said, okay, that's fine. But they had to drug her to bring her over. And at the end of the conversation, so I had done the animal communication reading on, like, say, Tuesday of 1 week, and the following Tuesday they were bringing the dog over to do the energy work. And when I was on the phone with her, I actually said out loud, yeah, if she gets along with my dog, I can foster her. I'll just treat her like a cat. So anyway, I fostered her for about an hour and then adopted her. But here's what happened, was I did a lot of energy work on her that day. They had to drug her to even touch her. They drugged her and her food for breakfast and were able to touch her and put her in the car. I mean, no one could. They used to feed her at one end of a barn and have to hide. And she'd come out, inhale the food, and go back into hiding. And they couldn't sustain that. And, of course, it was completely unadoptable. And there was no one that could foster her because they couldn't deal with that. So I, anyway, that first hour, you know, the drugs were starting to wear off, and I was touching her. You know, I was doing T-touch and scalar wave on her. And the next thing you know, she was, when Linda went to go get the check, to write me a check, she went and hid in the bathroom. She didn't want to go back in the car with Linda. So we knew it was a good fit then for her to be fostered with me. And I was typing, it's right about the time my first book was about to come out, and I was writing, you know, a bunch of emails, and it was starting to get dark, and there was a dog had put her head on my lap, and I had assumed it was my dog Olivia, and when I put my hand, and I wasn't looking, I was focused on my computer, but I started petting, and I realized that those were different ears. Those were lab ears. I got so excited, I immediately adopted her, right? Like, because, you know, no one had touched her in weeks, could even come near her, and here she put her head on my lap. So, but it, I had a very, like, the first time I went out of town, she wouldn't even come in the house. She stayed on the deck. She wouldn't even come in the house with the house sitter. I mean, I went through 4 dog trainers, everyone telling me that my goals with this dog were impossible. And I said, no, she's going to be the greeter. And she is now, when people drive up to my workshops, she is the first greeter. Now, she might go through your bag because you might have a sandwich, but she is the most lovable, beautiful, sweetest dog on the planet. But it you know, took, I mean, it was no small thing. So before we start tapping, let me ask you this. Karen, do you have any resistance to adopting her yourself?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, I would not rule it out 100%, but adopting her would likely mean I wouldn't continue to foster anymore. And that would be, I would have a very difficult time with that. Also, because of the health challenges I went through last year, our income stream right now is really challenged, and a lot of my life is in upheaval, and I don't honestly know that I have the time and the energy to do the kind of complex rehabilitation she could need, you know, to actually help her the way you've been able to help Isabella.
Yeah, I mean, it was no small thing, but I also, I mean, at that point, I had just gotten divorced, my cat had disappeared, so there was some mirroring of the sadness as well, as opposed to your PTSD. So there was a lot of me and the dog and the, me and my dog Olivia were going through intense grief, and here was this grieving dog. It was, so there was a lot of mirroring. But I also was just, you know, my dad was sick, just gotten divorced, I just moved to Seattle, I was starting for the billionth time over with my practice, and I had a book coming out. So it wasn't as intense rehabilitation as it sounds, you know. I kind of just said to myself, oh, look, I've got a giant class of 25 to 50 people coming to my house in January. It was September when I adopted her. Well, I've got 4 months to make her a greeter. You know, so I had an end goal. And that first class, I wouldn't say she was the greeter, yet she was in the room. It was big miracle. Stayed in the room. And let, I think, a few people touch her. But stayed in the room with almost 50 people. Mm. It's amazing. But by April, she was a rock star and was starting to you know, sit with people. And then my July class, so I teach quarterly, right? I teach October. Oh, you know what? I think I did have an October class. That was before the book came out. And I think she didn't stay in the room. It wasn't such a big group, but the January group was giant, and she stayed in the room, and that was a miracle. It was a norm. Sorry, it was normal. It became normal. It became what I expected, you know? And when dog trainers would say to me, this dog is never going to be that dog, I would just say, you are never going to be my dog trainer. And I see the one dog trainer in town all the time. And, I mean, she went off about how realistic I was and how unrealistic I was and how lucky I was that Olivia was the type of dog that could stand on the stage with me when I was speaking and blah, blah, blah. And anyway, she's, you know, I still send that woman clients because she's a good dog trainer for certain things, but not for somebody so terrified.
Mm-hmm.
But, so anyway, the only reason I'm saying that is because if it is a possibility, there might be, you know, again, your fact pattern might be that it's going to be a lot of work. And my fact pattern was it's going to be a lot of joyful work and playful. Play, 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 play. She didn't even know how to play. Olivia had to teach her how to play.
Yeah.
And it was the, now she's ridiculous. She picks up the toy and is the goofiest thing on the, and loud, like, I've got a toy, you know? I mean, you can hear it from town. But we'll start tapping here. So and I understand. The only reason I'm bringing that up is if you equally have the fear about her adoptability, then that's kind of why I brought that up. But let's go ahead and start the tapping. And are you ready?
Yep.
Okay. So starting with the karate chop point. Even though I have this dog.
Even though I have this dog.
That I can't seem to fix.
That I can't seem to fix.
And it's so heartbreaking.
And it's so heartbreaking.
It's heartbreaking for her.
It's heartbreaking for her.
And it's heartbreaking for me.
And it's heartbreaking for me.
And I love and accept myself.
I love and accept myself.
Even though I've got this dog that's totally mirroring the PTSD.
Even though I've got this dog that's totally mirroring the PTSD.
And it is bizarre how well we line up.
And it is bizarre how well we line up.
But I don't think I can keep her.
I don't think I can keep her.
And that breaks my heart.
And that breaks my heart.
And I love and accept her. And I love and accept myself.
And I love and accept myself.
And I love and accept her.
And I love and accept her.
Even though I have no idea how to fix this at this point.
Even though I have no idea how to fix this at this point.
I honor the choices I'm making.
I honor the choices I'm making.
Tapping through the points inside of the eye. Charlotte is afraid of everything.
Charlotte is afraid of everything.
Outside of the eye. I mean everything.
I mean everything.
Under the eye. I mean, if you think I'm talking about everything, just think even more everything.
I mean, if you think I'm talking about everything, just think more everything.
Under the nose. It's an impossible situation.
It's an impossible situation.
Under the lips. She's afraid of the vent.
She's afraid of the vent.
Collarbone. She's afraid of people.
She's afraid of the people.
Top of the head. I mean, if you even took your jacket off, she freaks out.
I mean, if you even take a jacket off, she freaks out.
Inside of the eye. I am so sad for her.
I am so sad for her.
Outside of the eye. So, so sad.
So, so sad.
Under the eye. I hate to see her trapped in this behavior.
I hate to see her trapped in this behavior.
Under the nose. And when I go to her, I get rejected.
And when I go to her, I get rejected.
Under the lips, and I hate that feeling.
And I hate that feeling.
Collarbone, can't she see how hard I'm trying?
Can't she see how hard I'm trying?
Top of the head, I mean, no one else is trying this hard.
I mean, no one else is trying this hard.
Inside of the eye, I am trying really hard.
I'm trying really hard.
Outside of the eye, I just don't know what else to do.
I just don't know what else to do.
Then I feel under the eye. Then I feel really incompetent.
And I feel really incompetent.
Under the nose. I mean really incompetent.
I mean really incompetent.
Under the lips. I mean, how long is this going to take?
I mean, how long is this going to take?
Collarbone. This is going really slowly.
This is going really slowly.
Top of the head, like molasses slow.
Like molasses slow.
Inside of the eye. In fact, sometimes I think we take 2 steps forward and 6 steps back.
In fact, sometimes I think we take 2 steps forward and 6 steps back.
Outside of the eye. I worry.
I worry.
Under the eye, I worry about her adoptability.
I worry about her adoptability.
Under the nose, I worry about her integrating into a household.
I worry about her integrating into a household.
Under the lips, I worry that someone will return her.
I worry that somebody will return her.
Collarbone, I worry that somebody won't see it through.
I worry that somebody won't see it through.
Top of the head, and yet I can't see it through either.
and yet I can't see it through either.
Inside the eye, I get really frustrated about the whole damn thing.
I get really frustrated about the whole damn thing.
Outside of the eye. I mean really frustrated.
I mean really frustrated.
Under the eye. I don't know what to do.
I don't know what to do.
Under the nose. I mean, even bigger than frustration, I have compassion.
And even bigger than frustration, I have compassion.
Under the lips. Big compassion.
Big compassion.
Collarbone, because it's not too unlike me.
Because it's not too unlike me.
Top of the head. I mean, we really are mirroring PTSD for each other.
I mean, we really are mirroring the PTSD for each other.
When I am quiet.
When I'm quiet.
Outside of the eye. I can actually feel her nervous system.
I can actually feel her nervous system.
Under the eye. Inside of my nervous system.
Inside of my nervous system.
We are enmeshed.
We are enmeshed.
We are both living PTSD.
We are both living PTSD.
Collarbone, we just kind of can't get away from it.
We just kind of can't get away from it.
Top of the head. It is so crazy.
It is so crazy.
Inside of the eye. There's no way I can stop running this feeling.
Can you repeat that, Joan?
There's no way I can stop running this feeling.
There's no way I can stop running this feeling.
Outside the eye. This feeling is running me.
This feeling is running me.
Under the eye. I have hit the year anniversary.
I have hit the year anniversary.
Under the nose. Of the biggest scare of my life.
Of the biggest scare of my life.
Under the lips. It made my blood turn cold to think I almost died.
It made my blood turn cold to think I almost died.
Collarbone, and I still live with that shock every day of my life.
And I still live with that shock every day of my life.
Top of the head. This dog is living with shock every day of her life.
This dog is living with shock every day of her life.
Inside of the eye. It makes me so angry at the people that would do this to her.
It makes me so angry at the people who would do this to her.
Outside of the eye. I mean, who would do this to this beautiful dog?
I mean, who would do this to this beautiful dog?
Under the eye. It is just so disturbing.
It is just so disturbing.
Under the nose. How people could just throw a dog away.
How people could just throw a dog away.
Under the lips. So now when I look at her and she looks at me.
So now when I look at her and she looks at me.
Collarbone, we are just looking at that trauma over and over and over again.
We are just looking at that trauma over and over and over again.
Top of the head. I have to take a deep breath.
I have to take a deep breath.
Inside of the eye. And an objective look.
And an objective look.
Outside of the eye. And a step back.
And a step back.
Under the eye. And treat her like a cat.
And treat her like a cat.
Under the nose. And know that I can have a different feeling because I choose it.
And know that I can have a different feeling because I choose it.
Under the lips, I am going to embody peace in my nervous system.
I am going to embody peace in my nervous system.
Collarbone, I am going to send that peace to her.
I am going to send that peace to her.
Top of the head. When I get into that state of peace.
When I get into that state of peace.
Top of the head. I get into that state of possibility.
I get into that state of possibility.
Outside of the eye. It is possible that somebody amazing is going to show up and adopt her.
It is possible that somebody amazing is going to show up to adopt her.
Under the eye. It is possible that I could shift this very quickly in the household.
It is possible that I could shift this very quickly in the household.
Under the nose. It is possible that we all need a lot more joy.
It is possible that we all need a lot more joy.
Under the lips. So I think we're going to go into joy therapy.
So I think we're going to go into joy therapy.
Collarbone. She's having the opportunity to work on her heart right now.
She's having the opportunity to work on her heart right now.
Top of the head. And so we are going to fill that heart with joy.
So we are going to fill that heart with joy.
Inside of the eye. Sometimes we have to do Western medicine procedures.
Sometimes we have to do Western medicine procedures.
Outside of the eye. To infuse the new feeling quickly.
Can you repeat that, Joan?
To infuse the new feeling quickly.
To infuse the new feeling quickly.
Under the eye. And the new feeling that she's getting with all that heartworm being cleared out.
And the new feeling she's getting with all that heartworm being cleared out.
Under the nose is joy.
Is joy.
Under the lips. And when she comes home on Saturday.
And when she comes home on Saturday.
I will be so joyful.
I will be so joyful.
Top of the head, because I am going to practice joy from now until then.
Because I am going to practice joy from now until then.
Okay, now take a deep breath. How are you feeling, and did anything else come up?
I am very much looking forward to listening to the tape, because that just feels like it would be really good to go through over and over again for myself.
Yeah.
One major aha moment that came up for me when I told you she was afraid of the floor vents for my heater, I totally had not made the connection that the most traumatic part for me a year ago was being on the ventilator.
Oh.
So when you said whatever language you use, like, she's even afraid of the vent. In medical lingo, that's what people say. I mean, I work in healthcare. We don't talk about ventilators. We only talk about vents.
That's crazy.
So that is beyond crazy, Joan. And I've had 20-some foster dogs, and none of them have ever been afraid of this floor vent. I mean, it's just a little bitty vent on the kitchen floor. It's like dogs don't pay any attention to it, except Charlotte. So I just was like, oh, my gosh, that's very interesting. Yeah.
Well, one of the things that I did, I actually, so when Isabella came in and was so grief-filled, I actually, and Olivia and I were grief-filled. Olivia and I had just, you know, within the year had lost the stepkids and got divorced and moved several times. I mean, it was very traumatic for my older dog and me. And, you know, yet I was just barreling through because I had a book coming out and my dad was sick and blah, 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 blah. So the one thing I did was I looked at Isabella, who was so grief-filled, and she was just basically embodying what, you know, Olivia is a Border Collie cross and 100% Scorpio. I mean, you know, we can do tasks together. I always joke that I'm half Border Collie. But here's this lab that tasks don't mean a thing. And it nothing had any real value for her. So she was embodying our grief in many ways. And so what I did was I just sat with the two dogs. I said, okay, here's the deal. We are going to go 150% into grief for the next 3 days. I'm going to take 3 days off. We're just going to grieve like crazy. Well, you can imagine when you give yourself permission to do 150% of grief, it's like about halfway through the next day, you're like, okay, this is kind of boring.
Yeah.
You know? So that really shifted the grief. So if I could recommend it, like you'd say, okay, on Sunday, we're just going to be as PTSD as we can be, you know? Like really just give yourself permission to go as far into it as you want to go and freak out with her over the vents, you know? Just whatever it is that it's going to take. I just think that if you gave yourself 3 days to embody PTSD, you're going to, about halfway through the first day, you're going to be like, have I taught you Frisbee yet? You know? So there's a certain point. Then the other thing I did was I had created this thing called Toy Parade. So anytime there was something good, we grab a toy and run around the house. And I couldn't teach her to catch. I couldn't. Now she catches. I mean, of course she catches. But I couldn't teach her anything. She just stared at me. Sometimes she still just stares at me. But So I created really joyful, fun things to, one, distract if something scary was around, and two, it just made everything fun, and it was in that joyful state that I was able to train her. And then the other thing is that anytime she was terrified of blonde women, and guess what I had boarding? I had 6 people that kept their horses with me at the time, and they were all blonde. So we went through every single day, you know, re-traumatizing over somebody trying to touch her. Just because, you know, you can imagine a bunch of horse people were all animal lovers, and so it just killed people that they couldn't touch her. I mean, one woman left crying one day. And ironically, she's the photographer that's done a bunch of pictures, and Isabella went up and licked her face in one of the photo shoots we did, so, you know, years later. But, you know, I just made time for joy, time for training after some big romp, and then, so I made every single person or animal that came to the door a friend. So even if, like, your husband walked into the house, into the room, you could say, oh, look, it's a friend. And then the UPS guy is like, oh, look, it's a friend. So everybody was a friend. And that's how I got her out of the, it wasn't just fear. It was like almost a red zone. Like, she could go through the plate glass window if I wasn't on it, if somebody walked up to the door. And now she's the first one to say, hey, how's it going? Who are you? So you can do this.
Yeah.
And you can also attract in, I mean, look at Linda, the gal that had Isabella, attracted in the perfect, Isabella,
yeah.
And Linda attracted me into this. I didn't need a second dog. I've had, in addition to all the things I said, getting divorced or had just gotten divorced, moved, no kids anymore, lost my cat. That was like the thing that sent me over the edge with all of it. And I was also running a facility. I had people boarding with me, which was about the dumbest thing you could ever do when you have a book coming out, because you can't leave. So I had people in and out every day, and every day it seemed to re-stimulate the trauma. And then, so that November, I kicked everybody out because I just couldn't deal with people boarding with me. And just worked slowly with any time anybody did come over, you know. That just made it such a fun thing, and wow, it's a friend. Mm-hmm. Everybody had that upbeat term. So, anyway, I turned that traumatized dog into just about the cutest thing on the planet. So
thank you, John.
Yeah. Yeah, I want to write about my story with Isabella just because I can't, you know, it's like it, they were almost all energetic things and some training, but it was largely my attitude toward changing it. And, you know, it sounds like you've had a lot of stuff go on, and, you know, it's kind of like what we were talking about earlier, that the thought pattern, fact pattern, needs to shift a little too.
Yeah. Well, when I chose to foster her, I knew it wasn't. I knew I had been led to her for a reason.
Yeah.
I really thought at the time that I was choosing her because I needed a project to help heal her. I've now come to realize over the past few weeks that she's really here to help heal me. So I'm still sort of taking that in and wondering how that all happens and what it is exactly we're supposed to be doing with that. But it's a very nice project, regardless of which way it goes.
Yeah. Well, let us know.
I will. Thank you.
Yeah. And, you know, actually what would be great is of all the animals that we've tapped on and all the animals that we will be tapping on, if we could post those in the Facebook group, that would be awesome. Because I think
Just the pictures, Joan, or a
yeah,
little
I would love
her.
To see
okay.
a picture of Charlotte. Okay. And actually okay. your other dog, too, yeah.
Yep, okay, I'll do that.
And I think we all want to see, you know, it's like, It's like our little way of rooting for them too. Like, good job, Misty, for moving on, and good job, Dream, for knowing how to make everybody do what you want. You know, like, but it's. I think we all want to see them. See who these cute teachers are. And is there a picture of Lily in there, Wendy?
I actually have one I took yesterday that I could post.
Okay. Because Lily was our first round of tapping.
Yeah. I'll do that today.
Yeah. Today was really great, you guys. I mean, I don't know. I feel like the two really different flavors of, you know, working with people's feelings around a situation. You know, one had a more light approach, and one had a, you know, has a little more tentacles and a real mirroring aspect. And, you know, the one thing, I mean, I can be funny, and it's fun for me to be funny, but sometimes being funny is really a great way, is equally as great to getting someone to shift as, you know, getting someone into tears. I mean, Shiloh, for you, was laughing about it helpful? Shiloh? Okay, maybe we lost her. But if you guys were observing or listening in, did you see or feel, you know, the shift with a little bit of laughing about the Pez dispenser?
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. For sure.
Yes.
Yeah. So, you know, it's, you know, you can have, I have some real big cussing tapping sessions, and then I have some really funny tapping sessions. And then I have some tearful tapping sessions. So, you know, it can be all around. It can be, you know, it doesn't have to go one way. We don't have to stick to the heavy duty, woe is me. It can be, it's mutable, I guess you could say. All right. So great class, you guys. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, John.
So, John, yeah. You wanted the picture, like you wanted just a picture of Misty on Facebook. I've never posted on Facebook.
Yeah, we have that Facebook group, that private group.
Oh.
And it would be really fun if...
Where's the information on the private group? I think I'm out of the loop there.
It would have come... Karen would have sent it.
Okay. I'll look back. Thank you.
Okay.
That's where it goes. Okay, I understand.
All right, you guys. Thank you, thank you.
Joan?
Yes.
Oh, this is Carolyn in Santa Barbara. I don't know if you got my email or not, but I think everybody probably knows we had that pretty devastating oil spill.
Yeah.
And
I don't think I did get your email.
Oh, okay. I was just wondering if I could just put it out there. I've sent out an email to everybody and just asking everyone if they could join us tonight in a remote group healing meditation. It's between 6:30 and 7:30 p.m. California time. And just everybody's just going to sit quietly and go in and send whatever love, light, healing energies you can, just focusing on our coastline. The devastation and loss of wildlife it's very sad.
Yeah. If you could post that also in the Facebook group, that would be awesome.
Okay, sure, I'll do that. Thank you.
Yeah, and I'm really sorry. I don't know how I didn't see that email. Okay.
That's okay. I know you're super busy, and I didn't even get it over to you until yesterday afternoon.
Okay.
Okay.
Well, thank you.
Okay, thank you. Thanks, everybody. Thanks, Joan, for a great class.
Thank you very much. Bye,
Carolyn.
Bye.
Bye, Paula. Bye.
Thanks, Joan.